Tonight I just want to, for a few minutes, just look a little bit more on the study we've been doing on holiness. You know, everything I want to say tonight, I know I won't get put in. I've already been restricted to 20 minutes today. I've got another 20 minutes. We've been looking at this subject of holiness. You know, we've seen that it's commanded by God that we live holy lives. We've seen it's God's standard. That's what he expects. That it's, we looked at, last week we looked at the example of Jesus. We saw that everything about Jesus was radiating his Father. You know, God is holy. Well, that's our text verse. We read it in 1 Peter. Chapter 1. And in verse 15 and 16. It says, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And that was, God was saying, I am holy. Jesus imitated his Father. And we looked at various examples last week about concerning Jesus. Well, I want to just look tonight at some things about the Christian life. And to start with, I want us to read just one verse in Romans chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, Romans 6, and verse 22, it says these words, it says, but now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, this verse talks about fruit. Now, fruit is something that is produced on a branch, be it a tree or be it a bush or a plant. It's something that's produced. It's something that grows. It's something that's developed. And here we have in the scriptures other things, like we have the fruit of the Spirit. But here it talks about having fruit to holiness. And then the end, everlasting life. So I want us to look just, I say very quickly tonight, we may have to finish it off next week, to some of the things the Bible says about our Christian life, where holiness is a resulting fruit. Or where, should we say, holiness is essential for us to be fruitful. And the first thing I want us to consider is our worship of God. You know, there's a beautiful verse, or a beautiful couple of verses in the Psalms. You know, this is found in Psalm 24, and it follows that lovely shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. And in Psalm 24 it says this, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. And I like the next verse. It says, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, this psalm here is written, and it's a psalm coming to worship. If you know anything about the the geography of Israel. You know, Jerusalem was built on a mountain. You know, when they came up to Jerusalem to worship, they were climbing a mountain. And here the psalmist says, who's going to ascend? Who's going to climb up the hill of the Lord? Who's coming up? When they were climbing up, generally it was going up to worship. They were going up there to worship at the temple. Or they were coming, it might have been a feast time, but they were going to Jerusalem to worship. You know, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? You know, there's a story in the Bible which is told, Jesus told a parable about a man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it says, as he went down from Jerusalem, he's going down the mountain from Jerusalem to Jericho. And here, the psalmist is talking about going up the mountain, going up to worship. And you'll find that throughout the scriptures, many times in the scriptures, people went up to worship. There was some sort of idea that the higher up the mountain you got, the closer you got to God. We know he's everywhere, he's in our hearts, but there was this idea, no, you went up to worship, you went up the mountain. You see it in the life of Moses, he went up the mountain. Jesus, even Jesus himself, it says in the scriptures, on occasion, he went to the mountain to pray. You know, there's something about going up the mountain. You know, it signified you're going up to worship God. You know, and here it says, who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? If you're going into the holy place, that's talking about going into the temple courtyard or into the tabernacle. And if you remember the studies on the tabernacle that we've done over the years, you know that in order to get to the holy place, or the priest, in order that he come to the holy place, he had to go through, had to go past the altar. Sacrifice had to be made for his sin. Then he came to the bronze laver. It talks about cleansing. Then he came through into the holy place. Now there was, it talks about being clean as you're coming into the holy place, coming before God. You know, and there's something about worship which requires and demands us that we are holy. You know, very often I don't know whether you found this, but I found that as I've come to worship God, or I've come before the Lord, even just sitting at home, you know, I do it quite frequently, and I get the guitar out and just sit and play, and as I just come before, something's quickened inside me that there's something not right. And always you have to sort of ask for forgiveness and repent, and you know, God touch, because you've got to be clean when you come before God. You've got to be holy. You know, you can't sin, can't stand in that holy place. You know, and this is quite clear in this way. It says, you know, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. You know, if you've got clean hands and a pure heart, you know, your worship to God is acceptable. You know, and you shall receive blessing from the Lord. You know, God will meet with you. Jesus taught, didn't he, in one of his messages, he said that, if you've got anything against your brother, you know, when you bring your gift to the altar, when you come to worship God, when you come before God, if there's anything wrong, you know, leave your gift there and then go and put it right and then come back. You've got to come, we've got to be holy when we come before God. We've got to be righteous. And it's necessary for worship. While we're in the Psalms, we might as well stay there. We'll turn over to Psalm 93. In Psalm 93, verse 5, this is the last verse of the Psalm. It's only a short Psalm, so He says, your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. You know, there's something about when we come to worship. You know, holiness is becoming to the church. It's something that is very pleasant in God's house. You know, when you come, when you worship, you know, there's just that sweet atmosphere that fills God's house when you come into worship. You know, holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. You know what that word adorn there really means? To crown. You know, the Bible talks about this in a few places. It talks about the woman adorning herself with precious jewels, or, you know, precious linen. You know, God adorns his house with holiness. It was Anthony shared on Sunday, and he quoted the verse from Peter. It says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, God's own special people. You know, holiness adorns the house of God. Holiness adorns the people of God. You know, we're called to holiness. We're elected to holiness. We've seen these already in our studies. That we've been elected, we've been called to be holy. God commands us to be holy. You know, and there's coming a time when we're going to be presented to God as holy. You know, the scriptures tell us in the New Testament. And so, I'll go to Colossians chapter 1 first. There's two scriptures here I want to read in the New Testament. But Colossians 1, verse 22.
Chapter 1.
Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Well, let me read verse 21 as well. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You know, we're going to be presented to God holy and blameless and above reproach. And that's something that Jesus is doing for us now. Yes, he's made us holy. We've already seen this. He's made us holy. You know, there's nothing that we've done to earn that or to merit it. It's purely a gift of God's grace. You know, when we got saved, we were made holy. We might not feel like it. We might look at our lives and say, well, I certainly don't think I am. But we can say that a lot of things about what the word says. You know, we can read it in the word and think, well, I don't match up to that. You know, I don't come close to that. I don't feel like I'm righteous. I don't feel like I'm holy. I don't feel like I'm blessed. But nevertheless, God's word says we are. You know, we're his children. And that's how God looks at us. And that's a work of his grace. You know, and then there's this ongoing work that God's doing in us as well. Because we're living in a body, we're living in a frame that is of the flesh. You know, and it tries to get the better of us, it tries to take over and tries to get us to go its own way. You know, and we occasionally, some of us perhaps a little bit more than occasionally, others a lot more than occasionally. You know, we do things wrong, and we make mistakes, we mess up, we fail. And you know, we have to come before God, and God forgives us again. God cleanses us. God washes us clean. You know, if I can use the word, he restores, not that we've ever lost it, but we get that restoration of holiness again. You know, God is working on us in order to present us holy and blameless. You know, we get that perfect picture in heaven when the bride comes to be married. It says that he's going to present her a glorious church without spot and wrinkle to the Lord. There's another verse here that this isn't the verse that I just quoted, but here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Well, let's go back to verse 11. I don't like just taking verses mid-flow, but 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. There's that scripture where it says that he's going to present us a glorious church without spot and wrinkle to God. And we're going to be like that. God's presenting us as holiness. Here in Thessalonians, it says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." You know, there again, we're talking about God is going to establish our hearts blameless in holiness. You know, he's working on us. So we might not feel holy. We might not feel like we might feel we've got a long way to go. And very often, you know, I feel like that sometimes. I think, well, you know, I've got quite a lot of work to be done. But God is working on us. You can't make a gem overnight. It's got to be worked on. You know, I was watching a TV program not that long ago, and it was talking about cutting of a stone. And part of this person says that the stone, they might start, they don't just cut the stone, that's it done. You know, they work on it. It takes weeks and sometimes months to get this thing right, to cut it. You know, in a big way, you know, they're not very big things, some of these, remind me, that's a bit too big. You know, they're very small. You know, and they're saying what they can easily, just one mistake, they can crack the stone and ruin it. But they patiently, they hone it. You know, take the facets off and make it into something beautiful. You know, God is working on us. You know, we might be a bit rough and ready, but God is working on us. You know, he's presenting us. He's establishing our hearts blameless in holiness so that we can be presented to Jesus as his bride. Now we should serve God in holiness. We should do everything we can to live righteously, you know, live holy lives. You know, lives that are pleasing to God. But holiness, we'll see, as we read in our verse in Romans, is a fruit of Christian living. So it's something that we've got to develop and grow in. Now what we'll do is we'll cut it there, and because we're already at time, but we'll pick it up again next week and then look at some of the other things that develop this fruit. You know, what holiness does for us, or what we need to do to develop in holiness. I've got a quite a list of them. But looking at the saints. Now, we're saints. You know, I think we looked at that the first week. Let me just give you the definition of a saint. A saint is a holy one. Someone who is holy. And we're all saints. It's not something that's going to happen once we die and get to heaven, we're going to be made a saint. It's not something that once we've gone and, you know, if the Lord hasn't come first and, you know, the church afterwards says, well, wasn't he a wonderful person? Let's make him a saint. You know, God declares that we are saints now. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are called of God. You know, those who are members of the household of God. Now, they are saints. You're a saint. You know, we talk about saints. We think of St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John. But you just put your name there. It works. It fits. St. Elvis, St. Billy, St. Relda, St. Les, St. Chris, St. Peter. Because we're all saints. We're all holy ones. And that's something that's the way God sees us. You know, we're not. There used to be I suppose it's still about, there used to be a poster. And you used to see it on, I think you can get it, I think it's still around. So it says, but along the lines of, if you were convicted for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, perhaps sometimes we look at our lives and we think, well, we're not going to get convicted for being a Christian. You know, we're not going to be convicted of being holy because we know all our sort of faults. But God sees us as saints. We are holy ones. So we'll look at some of the fruit next week and pick it up there. Amen.